And this morning we want to look in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, and I would like to read the first 16 verses. Of course, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I don't know that anything new will be said this morning as far as we that have been around the Word of God for a number of years, but I believe that this passage is just as relevant today as it was back then. And so we've titled the message, Discovery in the Darkness. Discovery in the Darkness. So I want to begin reading with verse 1 of John chapter 3. As I said, we do appreciate you being here. Appreciate those that are viewing this morning and that will be viewing. And we hope that this message can be a help and a reminder to all of us this morning. The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth whether it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how can ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, how we each one chose to view or chose to come into this sanctuary. And Lord, we each one desire to hear from you. And Father, just reading your word alone speaks to our heart. It gives man hope in a very dark world. And so Father, I pray that you'll help us this morning. Speak to hearts accordingly as you see fit. And Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll understand this morning the realization of death, realization of darkness. And Lord, that they'll come to know you. And Lord, help us to draw closer to you this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was reading this passage just a few moments ago, I was taken back with verse 7 that says, Marvel not that I said unto thee. And I was imagining in the darkness, I was imagining how that he must have had a overwhelming look on his face as Jesus began to teach, as Jesus began to, in reality, preach. And how his eyes must have been open very wide. And how he must have had that marveled look on his face. I know a lot of times you and I may be told something from someone, maybe a piece of news or something that we didn't know, and how that our look must have changed as this story is, as a story is being told. And I can just imagine that Nicodemus must have, as smart as he was and as much knowledge as he had, how that he must have really marveled in talking to Jesus. The message this morning, as I've already given you the title, Discovery in the Darkness. Discovery in the Darkness. One writer said this: if you're not a Christian, you should read this passage and seek the understanding of this passage. He also went on to say, if you lack assurance of salvation, you should read over and over, and assurance will come. He goes on to say, if you want to lead others to Christ, make sure you're familiar with this chapter. It would be good for every believer to learn it by heart. You see, this passage of Scripture is the message that speaks to a very dark world. A world that, as you look out, seems to have no hope. But yet, in reality, Jesus is the hope of a very dark world. This passage is the Lord simply having a conversation with Nicodemus. And I can just imagine in our mind they would be sitting around maybe a table or maybe a stoop somewhere. And Nicodemus coming to Jesus and inquiring. Now he came in the darkness. He came at night. You might think he came at night because he knew Jesus had been busy. Miracles, teachings, traveling, walking, and doing all the things. He must have known that Jesus was very busy, but he himself was a busy person. But yet I think the coming at night was very significant. And I think it was coming during a time of darkness, because you see, the Bible talks about Jesus being the light of this world. And the light lights up darkness. Well, he came at night, and he came with curiosity. He came with wanting to understand. You see, this conversation was not a pastime conversation. It wasn't going into the local department store or Walmart and seeing someone that you hadn't seen in a while, and you strike up a conversation and you talk about the past, or you talk about something that's going on, or even someone that you've seen recently, and you say, hello, how you doing? And you might talk about something. But this wasn't a pastime conversation. This wasn't two people making small talk or chit-chat. But the information that was being sought and the information that was being given was the heart of Jesus' purpose in being here. It wasn't two people just passing the time. When I was growing up, that would be the thing that people would do. People would be sitting on their front porch or underneath a shade tree somewhere, and they would sit around and talk. I remember that when we would go see my grandparents, no matter where we lived, whether it was a way off or even back when we used to live close to them when I was very young, everybody would eventually migrate to the front porch. And they would talk, and they would just talk about things, and they would, talk about probably similar to things that people might talk about today. And I just remember as a young fella, very seldom was I ever part of the conversation, but when I was, it made me glow. It was like, hey, they're talking to me. And I would, whatever question they asked or whatever question I was a part of, it's like I wanted to be a part of that conversation. Well, I believe that Nicodemus here wanted to hear from Jesus. He came seeking him of the darkness, and he wanted to hear from him. And he came to Jesus by night, but yet I see a bigger picture in the fact that he came to Jesus in the darkness. Well, you look at the world today and you see how dark the world is today. It doesn't take much to look out and you see how that things just in your lifetime and in my lifetime, how things have changed and how things have become compromised, and what used to be bad seems to be okay, but yet based upon what the Bible says, it's still bad. Sin is still sin. But yet there's a compromising, because you can call it, well, it's the sign of the times, and you can call it things have changed, and you can put all kinds of things in there, but I still this morning call it darkness. It's darkness. And so I see this as being something very significant, that he came in the darkness, because in darkness there needs to be light, and that light is Jesus Christ. The light is Jesus. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he was a very smart man, and some would call him a very religious man. He had good morals, and there was nothing on record that the Bible talks about of him being an individual that was an ungodly or an unmoral person. But yet he had a desire. He had an emptiness. He wasn't the type of person that says, well, I've already learned it, I don't need anything else. But he came seeking understanding. He came seeking knowledge. And he wanted to know. In today's world, if I can really kind of put it like this, and I'm talking in general, and I'm talking about a population, not as individuals, but I'm talking about a population. But if you're around very many people very long, it just seems like people don't care. They don't care. They care about a lot of things, but they don't care about eternity. Because there's so many ideas out in the world today. There's so many thoughts out in the world today. I actually listened to something this weekend. And this individual went around to, it was about a dozen denominations. And he went and visited all those churches and all those denominations. And he gave a summary of what he thought each denomination believed. And in the very end, which he was raised Catholic, and in the very end, he said, you know what I've learned about visiting all these churches? You know what I've learned? And he was given a summary, and he said, what I've learned is every religion mentions about Jesus, so in reality, everybody's believing the same thing. But yet that's not true. The Bible says, and Jesus said it, you must be born again. And it doesn't matter the religion that this individual, it was almost like he was saying it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. And with that thought process, and that was from The younger generation, this guy was probably in his, I would say, early 20s. And with that thought process, that's the reason that I don't believe that people care about eternity as a group, maybe not as individuals, because there are individuals that do care. But I'm just saying, as a group, it just doesn't seem to be a priority anymore. And what I'm trying to paint a picture of this morning is Nicodemus was concerned, and he wanted to learn, and he wanted to understand. You see, he had heard about Jesus and the miracles and his teaching, and he wanted to know more. He wanted to know more. So he came in the cover of darkness. He came in the cover of darkness, and he made some discoveries. He made some discoveries. And the first discovery that I want to make mention of this is this. The discovery that Nicodemus made about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is always ready to meet those that are seeking. He's always ready to meet those that are seeking. Verse 2 says, "And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a good teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." You see, he didn't have trouble accessing Jesus. He didn't have trouble accessing Jesus. It's almost like as he was seeking Jesus, Jesus was waiting. It's almost like we think of that that says, "I stand at the door and knock." And I'm paraphrasing, but all you have to do is open it. Do you realize that Jesus wants a relationship with every single person? Every single person. He had a desire to meet with Jesus, and he brought him his concerns. He brought him his questions. He brought him his wanting to learn and wanting to know. Jesus welcomed him. And I believe that Jesus is just as welcoming today if people would just seek him. If people would just seek him. There's a verse found in John chapter 17, verse 37 that says, "In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come after me and drink." Thirst. Thirsty for Jesus. My uncles used to be, was into hunting a lot. And I learned a lot from them. One of my uncles that, all of them are passed away now, but one of them, told me about a time that he got extremely thirsty. He was up in the mountains and got extremely thirsty. And he was trying to find some way because his mouth was so dry. And he said it got so dry that he actually stuck a penny underneath his tongue. And I wouldn't advise that. It's probably pretty germy. But that's what he did because it actually triggered the saliva glands in the mouth. And it brought moisture because he was so thirsty, and he did that until he could find something or find a creek or whatever it was to help with his thirst. That's a pretty thirsty individual. Very dry. When I think of that, and I think of the Lord Jesus, I ask myself, as I ask you the same question, how thirsty are we for Jesus? How thirsty are we that we would take time aside as Nicodemus in the cover of darkness in this dark world and seek you and seek Jesus? Nicodemus was a very smart man. He knew a lot of things, but he was still thirsty for the truth. He was still thirsty for the truth. He was hungry. He was hungry for the truth. And he was so hungry that he put everything aside. He put all his plans. He put all his obligations. He put all the things that, you know, we all have plans. We all have things that we're going to do. We have to get this done. And it's a whole list of things that we all have to do and different chores and different obligations and all those things. But I believe that he came at night and he put everything aside seeking Jesus. That's how hungry he was. That's how thirsty he was. There's a verse in the Bible that says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Seeking Jesus. Nicodemus realized, he discovered that Jesus is ready for someone that is seeking. He didn't allow his position. He didn't allow his mind. He didn't allow anything to distract him seeking Jesus. That's a great discovery. That's a helpful discovery for us today to realize that no matter what's going on in our life, we need to make time for Jesus. No matter how busy we are, we must have that desire and make that discovery, because we are living in a very dark age and we are living in a very dark land and we are living in a time period that is getting worse and worse and worse. And the only answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the answer. But we must be strong within ourselves in our relationship with him. We must be strong ourselves. We need him closer and closer and closer to us. I'll tell you another discovery that he made. Nicodemus discovered that the Lord is more than a great teacher. He's more than a great teacher. And we see that in verse 2. He says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." And he talked about his miracles. And he understood that his miracles would only come from God. But then Jesus goes on to teach. Teaching the fact that except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And it says, "Marvel not that you must be born again." So he was more than a great teacher. What great way to learn the truth than that seeking Jesus? Because he is the truth. He is the truth. You know, I'm learning, and I get reminded of this just about every day in some way, shape, or form, but everyone has an opinion. Everyone has an opinion about something. Everyone has an opinion. Maybe it's based on their experience. Maybe it's based upon something in their own life. Maybe it's based on something they saw. But everybody has an opinion about something. But the most important thing is that it's not about our opinion when it comes to our salvation, but it's about based on what the Bible says. based on what the Bible says. Jesus had the answer because he is the answer. In this dark world, the dark things were beginning to come to light. And that's what Jesus will do. The dark things. I told you recently, and I'll continue to say this, I lived in a Christian home, and I lived during a time period that my mother and dad went to church, and when I was growing up, my dad was a pastor, and I heard the message. I heard that Jesus saved. I heard that the Lord was coming back, the same messages that we hear today. I heard all those things. But it wasn't until I came to that personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and asked the Lord to save me personally that it made a difference. That's when it became light. That's when the light came on. You see, he's the greatest of teachers. He's the greatest. Jesus is the greatest in the code of ethics. But Jesus is also the giver of life. He's the one that gives life. The greatest need in someone's life is to be saved. That's the greatest need in someone's life. It's always been that need, and it continues to be that need, but it seems like it, everything else gets in the way. Everything else takes a precedence over salvation. I was thinking this morning, what if, you know, they were mentioning about a gentleman that got killed this week on a motorcycle. They mentioned it in Sunday school. And he left his place, wherever it was, his home, wherever it was, and had plans throughout the day. You know, he knew what he was going to do. He, you know, just like we do every single day. But he never came home. He didn't plan for someone to make a wrong turn in front of him. He didn't plan to hit a van with his motorcycle. He didn't plan. We heard of another individual in Sunday school, I believe if I understood right, 38 years old, died of a heart attack. He didn't plan to have a heart attack. He didn't plan. He got up in that morning or whenever it was and started his day. And you know, we do it every single day. We get up in the mornings. We start our days. And, you know, you have your routines of the things that you do, the medicines you take, the coffee you drink, or whatever it may be. But we never plan that we might take our last breath. We never plan. But yet one day that day's going to come. It's going to come. Now, we know we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back at any time, and we understand that. But in reality, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us home with him, we're still counted as sheep for the slaughter, and it could happen to any one of us at any given time. Nicodemus was concerned, and he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Another discovery that Nicodemus made was this. Nicodemus discovered that God's way of salvation is not religion. It is not religion. You see, he would be considered a religious person, but Jesus gave him the information that he needed. Verse 3 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto ye, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6 says, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." And in verse 7 says, "Marvel not that I said ye must be born again." Jesus was giving him that information and said it's not about religion, but it's about being born again. It's about being saved. It's not about making a change in your life. It's not about reading your Bible. It's not about going to church. It's not about I'm going to do things better and I'm going to make things better in my life. But no, we can't do it. But Jesus can. Do you realize that the only time that we truly begin living, I'm talking about truly living, is when we give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when things become different. That's when we look at things with different eyes. We look at things with a different heart. We look at things in a different perspective because we've given our heart to Jesus Christ. It's about the new birth. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. He was trying to get that message into the heart of Nicodemus. And sometimes when we marvel over things, sometimes we're really not paying attention. When we get information and someone tells us something and it's shocking information, it's like we're in such shock that we're really not taking it in. And that's when Jesus ultimately was saying, marvel not. Don't marvel on those things, but accept these things. Accept these things. You see, marveling doesn't get you saved, but accepting the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, that's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. Not an idea that man puts forth. You know, anymore on social media, you don't know what to believe and what not to believe. Because I said before, everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got an idea. Everyone's got a thought. But when it comes to salvation, I don't want to hear a thought. I want to hear what the Bible says. What the Bible says. Nicodemus was discovering in the darkness. He was discovering the truth. But he came seeking Jesus. And number four, Nicodemus discovered that the new birth is imperative. I shared with you these verses 3 and verse 7. I won't read them again, but he left with no doubts. He left with no doubts. But I will point out one word found in verse 7. And that is the same word that should be imperative to us. And that is this, the word must. Must. Ye must be born again. You must be born again. A number of years ago now, I guess it's probably been about 7 or 8 years, there was some great fires in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and in Pigeon Forge. And there was a lot of people that lost their lives. The news only reported about 16. But in reality, based on some of what we heard from some of the locals, that they ordered 300 body bags. And the reason that all those were not reported is because most of them didn't even have any IDs and there wasn't any kind of record or anything like that. And in a lot of the houses, there were, you know, as many as 10 or 12 people. And there's still a few structures now, but most of them are gone. But if there was an X painted on the, if I have it right, if an X painted on the structure, that means everything was clear. But if there was a circle painted on the structure, then that means that there were people found. In some of the stories that we heard, because we kind of kept up with it, because we've been going in the Smoky Mountains for a number of years, so we kind of kept up with some things. And some of the stories started coming out about individuals that were trapped. There were fires on all around. And there were people that came into that fire and came into that to try to rescue people. And they knew the way in, and for many of the people to survive, they had to go out that certain way because there were fires everywhere. If you went to the right, you saw a wall of fire. If you went to the left, there was a wall of fire. If you went up, there was fire. And they had to go back that certain way before the fire consumed that area. And so more than once, I heard stories about people coming in to save individuals to keep them from being destroyed by the fire. But they had to go out that certain way because of that one had already been there, had already been led. And so for them to be saved from that fire, they had to follow the guide. They had to follow the one that knew. What a true picture that is today about salvation. The only way to salvation and the only way to safety is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only one that can lead you to safety. That is the only one that can give you the path of life. He is the only one. And that's what Nicodemus was finding out. He was finding out the truth in darkness. He was finding out the truth. You see, there don't seem to be much concern anymore in this world, or as much as you used to. When I was growing up in church, and you were the same way, I'm sure, that the churches were full and many of those people were lost, but they had a respect. They had a respect for church and they had a respect for what was being taught. And many people, service after service after service, came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because God spoke to their heart and they saw the light in darkness. Well, Jesus hasn't changed. He's still the way, the truth, and the life. He's still the hope in a dark world. And Nicodemus was learning. Nicodemus discovered that there was no one is too old to be born again. No one is too old to be born again. Verse 4 says, Nicodemus said to them, "How can a man be born when he is old?" How can he be born again when he's old? When in reality he was learning. It's whosoever will. It's whosoever will. And number 6, Nicodemus discovered that there was only one way to salvation. Only one way to salvation. The Bible says in verses 14 and 15, and the Bible says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In verse 15, that says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the new birth takes place in the heart when you give your heart solely to Jesus. The only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. The only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You see, Nicodemus discovered in a very dark world that Jesus is the answer. He came to him in the darkness, and Jesus was the giver of light, the giver of truth. And I'll remind you this morning that we live in a very dark world. A lot of hatred, a lot of anger, a lot of things that's going on in this world. But there is not a time that a person in their dark world, in their dark life, that Jesus can't take that person and change the heart. The example that I think of more often than not is Paul. Paul was very religious, as he was Saul. And he was persecuting the church. And he was causing problems. But on that Damascus road, Jesus changed his heart. Jesus changed his life. You see, the problem is people are getting pulled in so many directions nowadays. Time is going by very quickly. People are too busy. And I believe that that is another one of Satan's tools. People don't have time to be concerned about where they are in their relationship with the Lord. We go here, we go there, we have to do this, we have to do this, and we very seldom have time in many cases to even sit down. And you know, if you're not one of those people, you can look out and you can know you individuals that are. They never have time to sit down. Well, I believe that that is a time robber, and that is another tool that Satan uses to tell people they don't have time. But the Bible tells us that now is the accepted time. Nicodemus set everything aside to talk to Jesus. Nicodemus desired the answers. Nicodemus came in the darkness. But the most important answer is that he came to Jesus and not only received the truth, he saw the truth. And Jesus is the same truth today. You know, we all get real busy. We all have a lot of things going on in our lives. But let me challenge you that if you're saved, we still need to make time for Jesus. We need to grow. We need to spend time in fellowship with Him. And you never know how the Lord might use you to tell others about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the discovery in darkness and the fact that we live in a very dark world. We live in a world that's headed for destruction, that's in the middle of destruction. And how Satan has got so many distractors out there, so many things that's pulling people away. But Lord, even in the darkness, we see that You are willing. You're willing. And that You have time for every individual. But Lord, we need to seek You. Nicodemus, based on John 3, was seeking answers, wanting to make a discovery. And he went to Jesus. If there's discoveries that we need to make in our life, in the midst of this darkness, troubles, problems, answers, Lord, I ask that You help us to seek You. Father, bless this invitation, whatever the need may be. Whatever question we might have for You, concern, burden, maybe someone here still needs to be saved. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to those hearts and help us to be willing to come in this dark world seeking the light. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?